Good morning.
Good morning.
You would? Did anybody experience heat last week? Go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. And as you turn there, I'll kind of go through a little review of last week. So as you turn, in the context that we went through here, starting from even a while ago, we talked about how, as a reminder, we were slaves of sin and slaves of the evil one. We were handpicked by Jesus to be his slave. And if he tells us what, or if we listen to what he says and he tells us, you know, things to do, that we do them, we are privileged to be called his friend. And then all the benefits of being a friend. Benefits as being called Jesus' friend. And so we continue on with those verses there. Starting in verse 17, says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." And then I'll just go ahead and read the verses again just to kind of go through there. But verses 17 through 25 says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I sent to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause." So last time I kind of gave you a brief history of the persecution of the church. And apparently, I guess it's online, so you can see, listen to that in a little bit more detail. But as a reminder, Jesus prophesied to his disciples, the world is going to hate them. And sure enough, you don't have to go very far to read about the history of the church, especially in Acts. Now, the persecution of the church being preached by Peter, to the murder of Stephen, to a full-blown persecution of the church by Saul, to his conversion and his persecution. Persecution from the Jews first and then from the Romans, then in Asia Minor to the Roman Catholicism to present times. And what Jesus said then is true then, and it is also true today. Now Jesus handpicked you to be his slave. He also handpicked you to be not a part of this world. And because you are not part of this world system, and you are not controlled by Satan, and you don't conform to this world, the world sees you as a problem, and the world hates you. We as Christians don't practice the things that the world does. We don't practice the things that are worthy of death, and we don't approve of those who do. We are chosen by Jesus personally. So when we become a Christian, 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, we are the conscience to everyone. We shine the light of truth. That will accuse or excuse them. And we are hated because of that. We are to be the light in this dark world, Ephesians 5:11 and John 3:20. We expose their sin and they hate us for that. 1 John 3:11 says that Cain killed his brother, which we heard this morning, because he was of the evil one. He was controlled by Satan because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. The world hates righteousness, not talking about self-righteousness, but real righteousness. That is why Jesus was killed, right? In John 7:7, Jesus says that the world hates them because Jesus points out their evil deeds. We are called to point out sin, but we do it in love. And we don't do it because we are self-righteous. We do it because we are not part of this world. That is why we take the two by four out of our eyes so we can point out the speck in other people's eyes. So when you clean up your act so you can point out the sin in other people in love, you will be hated. You will get the response that I think I hear sometimes is that I thought you were a Christian, so don't judge me. For Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So Jesus says, you will be hated by the world because you don't belong. You don't adhere to the world's systems of thought, its philosophies, religions, etc. You reject what the culture accepts because we follow the Word of God. We are handpicked to be subject to our King Jesus and represent His kingdom, which is not part of this world. And the world hates us for that. Which brings us to where we left off last week. So that's a few reasons why the world hates us. Or the reason why the world hates us is because we're not part of this world. So going back to verse 18, John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. How can anyone hate Jesus? There is nothing about Jesus to hate. The only way someone could hate Jesus Christ would have to be just plain evil. But they did hate him, and they hated him first. So if the world hates you, just remember they hated Jesus first. Matthew 10:24. A disciple is not above his master, nor a slave above his master. And then again, it says in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Basically saying that the world is going to treat you like they treat me. This is why Stephen was killed, right? And why the killings haven't stopped. And that is really the truth that we need to accept. And we need to faithfully speak the truth, which might elevate the persecution. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If Jesus was perfect and was treated with hostility and murdered, why should we expect anything different, knowing that we're imperfect? And if we are professing Christ, we should expect a world run by Satan to have the same reaction. It should have the same reaction as it does towards Jesus. If we are bold enough to tell people the fact that hell is real, sin is going to be judged, and the punishment is eternal, so are we bold enough to tell them that their ways are evil, that they offend a holy God, and the consequences of your evil deeds may or will have eternal punishments unless you are forgiven through the works of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to say that? Christians are loved by God and hated by Satan. Loved by God, but hated by the world. Jesus said, you will be persecuted. Again, John 15:20 says, remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. We know what persecution means, but let's hear what the definition. It says to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure or grieve or afflict specific to a cause of, or to suffer because of one's belief. And Christianity has a history of being persecuted based on hatred, and it's not going to change because Satan is the lord of this world, the prince of the power of the air, who works in the children of disobedience. We have been blessed to live in a country who has had a strong Christian beginning, but that's changing before our very eyes. And Jesus predicted this, and it has, and is taking place. And according to John 16:2, it says, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. He is telling his disciples that you are going to be persecuted and you are going to be killed. Throughout church history, many times, many noble, faithful preachers of the truth have been persecuted, imprisoned, and executed. Back to verse 20, it says, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It makes sense. If the slave is greater than the master, then he would be the master. But he's not. So they will treat you like they treat me, is what Jesus is saying. Paul understood this in Galatians 16:17. It says, "From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus." What Paul is basically saying is that they beat me because I come in Jesus' name. They hate me because I represent Jesus. It's for his name's sake. The world hates Christians because they hated Jesus first. Another reason the world hates Christians is because they do not know God. I am always surprised when I hear statistics about many Christians or how many Christians there are in the United States. It makes me wonder on who's asking the question and what their definition of a Christian is. For that's, if those statistics were true, I think there would be a lot less worldly crime, but a lot more persecution. You're aware of the people around you who will say, "I am a spiritual person. I believe in God, and I pray to God." But look at verse 21. "But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." They don't know the one who sent me. They don't know God. That includes religious figures, pastors, priests. They don't know God. And it gets worse. In 15:23 it says, "He who hates me hates my Father also." 24 says, "But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well." This is the human race in the world. They don't know God. They hate God. And it's not hard to tell, for in John 14:15 it says, "If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments." Right? Where's the love? While he was still speaking, in Matthew 17:5, "A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" And he says that, "Listen to him." Listen to him. Reminds me of Charles Stanley. Listen. They don't listen to him. They reject Christ. They hate God, for they don't know the one who sent me. They don't know God. Jesus said this a lot to the religious leaders of his time. They thought they knew God better than anyone. And Jesus said in John 7:28, Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, "You both know me and know where I am from. And I have come of myself, but he who sent me, I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." You don't know the one who sent me. You don't know him, which is a real slap in the face of the religious leaders in Israel, that you don't know God. They even asked Jesus in John 8:19. It says, "So they were saying to him, 'Well, where is your Father?' And Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.'" And John 8:40-41 says, "But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "You were not born a fornicator. You have one father. We have one Father, God." And then Jesus answered them and said, and I know I have read this one here before, but here it says again. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because Jesus speaks the truth, they do not believe him." Why don't they believe him? Verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." You don't know God. Not only do you not know God, but you hate him. John 8:54 says, and Jesus answering, this is, "If I glorify If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And down to verse 55 it says, and you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him. Why? The proof is, Jesus says that he keeps his word. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know God. You are blind, and you are dead in sin. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You can't find God on your own, and the judgment of the Lord is on those who do not know God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not saying you don't know God exists. That's different. For Romans talks about even though they knew God, they did not honor him. They knew God was the source. They knew God was an entity. And they knew God was the cause, because God's creation of the world makes his invisible attributes visible. His eternal power, divine nature, has been made clear. And so they have no excuse. So they know that there is a God. And this word to know in Romans is the word gnosko, which means by observation, to recognize, to perceive. There has to be somebody responsible for all I see. It makes sense, it's logical, and it's real. But the word here used in John is the word oida, which is a different Greek word. It means to know internally, to understand, to appreciate, to respect, to regard with honor, which Romans says they did not honor him. Romans 1:28 says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. They didn't acknowledge God any longer. And then in Romans 1:30, came slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. They became haters of God. Why? Because they don't know him. They hate the true God because they love their sin, and God is going to judge them. There are people who hate God and don't even know it. They may say, God bless you, but they hate God because they hate his law, his moral standards. They hate righteousness, and they are comfortable in their own sin. It's a dangerous place to be, to create a God that is tolerant of your sin. And when you confront someone that their sin offends a holy God, that hatred they have for God is turned onto you. You can only know God by knowing Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father except by me, and nobody confesses Jesus as Lord without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23 says, he who hates me hates my Father also. And verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. What is he saying here? They hate God, but they also hate me. I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. Well, we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What this is saying is that they would not have this one sin. So we know, okay, so We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What this is saying here in this context is that they would not have this one sin, the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have sinned. Hebrews 1:3 says, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the whole full revelation of God. If he didn't come, they would not have the sin of rejecting God. They reject God as revealed by nature and have no excuse, Romans 1. They reject God as revealed in the Old Testament, and they reject Christ. Therefore, having rejected the final revelation of God, and they hate Jesus and his Father, even though they witnessed his works. The greatest sin is to reject Jesus Christ, and that is what it is saying. If I hadn't come and completely revealed God, manifested God, men would not be able to commit the greatest of all sins against that perfect revelation of God, who is Jesus Christ. Acts 17:30 says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent." Before Christ came, there was a time God was a little more gracious of sin. It doesn't mean it didn't matter to him. It meant that there was a kind of tolerance of God because Christ hadn't come yet. But now God is calling everyone to repent and follow Christ, because Christ has been revealed. Hebrews 10:29. "How much worse of a punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and was profaned the blood of the covenant of which he was sanctified and was outraged the Spirit of grace? To hate God, therefore, is eternal damnation. And to hate God after the full revelation of Jesus Christ is even a greater judgment. Jesus revealed God in such a way that has never been revealed before. So when a man rejects Jesus, that's pretty scary. And we live in a nation, in a world, where many people are rejecting Jesus. And it is without excuse. And they hate God and they hate Jesus." Let's go back to verse 25 in chapter 15 there in John. "But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause." Jesus makes a statement in verse 25 that the world hates Jesus. It is to fulfill Scripture. Psalm 69:4 says, "More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without a cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore?" The psalm is about the coming Messiah. Those who hate me without a cause outnumber the hairs on my head. This hatred God knew, because it was all part of his sovereign redemptive plan. Killing Jesus was part of God's plan. Just read Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Peter knew this. Listen to his sermon in Acts 2:22-23. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourself know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Hating Jesus was part of God's plan. And Acts 4:23-31 says the same thing. I'll just read verse 28 though. "To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." They did what God had predestined. So going back to John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to the apostles here and is basically saying that being hated is part of God's plan. This plan that I would be hated without a cause, it was all part of God's plan that he would be hated, crucified, and then take on our sin on the cross. Now, just step back a little bit. Put yourself in the apostles' shoes here. Remember, this is the night before his betrayal at night of Thursday night. What would these apostles be thinking here? Remember, it was all this love, the benefits of being a disciple. God's going to take care of you. And then all of a sudden, this verse is about hate. So you're going to be hated. What were they thinking? How can we be able to fulfill this promise of bearing fruit that eternally remains? How can Jesus use us? How can we even survive? And the answer can be found in verses 26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. How can they overcome? Overcome hatred of the world? How can they testify during this time? How can they bear fruit? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the world has been changed. The apostles spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and has spread all over the world. Hatred will always be there, but so will the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purpose of God to gather his own. So in conclusion, the world hates Jesus and his followers because we are not of this world. The world hates us because they hated Jesus first. The world hates us because they don't know God. And the world hates us because it is the fulfillment of Holy Scripture. Part of God's holy redemptive plan. And that is why we need to love one another. Because we need each other. But don't be discouraged. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." First John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Amen. So now in the context of the last 2 weeks, I'm going to read the verses again. So hopefully it'll make more sense as you read through that. So John 15:17, I'm going to go through 27 now because I didn't start with that way. But "these things I command you." This is Jesus speaking now. So listen. "These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Amen.